Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
Blink. Sir Grace the barkeep, pouring drinks for a beleaguered populace, lending a friendly ear, overhearing, always listening. Blink. Sir Grace the fighter, king of the pit, building strength, vanquishing foes, preparing. Blink. Sir Grace the blacksmith's son, tracking each order with keen eyes, taking note, remembering. Blink. 2,000 eyes, 1,000 plans, and all requiring a personal touch. This is the state of grace.
Punchinello, his consciousness, what shard of him remains mixed with what shard of Sir Grace was in there,
mm-hmm.
sits in the interrogation room of the gallant rider.
Okay.
Perhaps there's nothing to be learnt from this entity. I think there's not really much we can do here other than destroy this poor creature and its suffering.
Punchinello is lost. Punchinello is missing. It is like the night sky, like a puddle.
Like a
stagnant
puddle.
And full of wiggling larvae.
Wiggling larvae?
Punchinello meant to be in the pool, but he's here.
Drifting Snowflake takes a step forward like he's going to punch you, even though you're not really there.
No, yeah,
and
yeah.
Pom Penny Farthing puts up a hand. Now, no need to violence.
Yes. Can I feel as Punchinello Grace?
Yeah.
Can I feel that inky black within me?
No, well, it exists within you, but it's a sliver, it's a slice cut off, which is kind of what Sir Grace was already dealing with.
Yeah.
Sir Grace was dealing with a slice of the inky black, or is dealing with a slice of the inky black. You're dealing with a slice of a slice.
Yes, okay.
And a small one at that as well.
Mm. Enough?
Enough for what?
For transformation.
You could try, but you're unsure.
Okay. What do I think would be stopping me? That it wouldn't be enough for a full conversion?
The magic of the room prevents you accessing Sir Grace or the wider inky black.
Mm-hmm.
But this mirror, you get the impression that if you lashed out and tried to convert someone, you would bump up against it somehow. The mirror does more than just cut off your connection.
Yeah.
It's got some other magical properties to it that maybe aren't designed for this specific situation, but kind of like a barrier can stop what's intended, but also unintended things.
Yeah, okay, interesting. And in a way, I'm still in the prison, yeah? In a weird way, okay.
Punchinello is dimly aware that he's not actually sitting in the boat. He's in the mirror.
Yes.
But he feels like he's in the boat right now.
Okay. So Grace doesn't really know much about the mirror as well, does he, unfortunately?
No, Sir Grace doesn't. Well, yeah. Punchinello doesn't know anything about the mirror.
Yeah, no, I was just like,
oh, wait, no, yeah, you did see it before Sir Grace got cut off. Yeah, yeah. Sir Grace didn't know much about the mirror either. He's maybe since learnt about the mirror, but that is not Punchinello's purview.
No. Well, I was like, if Sir Grace, there's just a lot of mirror people in the Lonely Tower is all I was thinking. Yeah, I think as Punchinello sits here interrogated and Sir Grace sits in the throne room, I'm going to jump to maybe some of those reinforcements. And I'm going to have them investigate the mirror room for a possible entrance to the mirror that is existing on the Gallant Rider.
Okay.
Just as something to look into.
Meanwhile, one of those Blue Beach ships is set a sail and heads in the direction of the Gallant Rider, hopefully to intercept.
Yes, fingers crossed. Okay. Chatting to Tineta Ikohika, I'd like to, with one of my feathery like arms, gesture for her to come closer.
She
Punchinello is a small part of a big pool. Punchinello is a tiny patch of the night sky.
Tenete Ikohika thinks for a moment, looks at Pom Penny Farthing. He gives a nod, a knowing nod. And Tenete Ikohika drags her chair a little bit closer to you.
Is she within like touching distance?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to get her even closer. I want to try and, if this is going to work, I don't know if it is, but I want to try and guarantee it. I gesture.
She moves a little closer still. Close enough that your knees are nearly touching.
Punchinello needs to whisper truth in your ear.
She leans a little closer. She's not crossed. If you could imagine like an imaginary line mm-hmm. in between the two of you, just past where both of your knees are, she leans her head and cocks it so that her ear is close, but she doesn't cross that line.
Okay. As she comes closer to me, I'll cross that threshold and I'll say, "Here is the truth from Punchinello." And then I'd like to grab her and fling myself back into the mirror. That's my attempt.
You launch out at her, but mm-hmm. then boom, you bounce off the mirror and settle back into the chair.
I'd like to imagine my owl eyes start to swivel on the spot, like looking in different directions. And then I like sort of, it's like for that period of time, whatever part of Sir Grace, whatever sliver of Sir Grace is in Punchinello
yeah.
was talking, and that gets knocked by the mirror, and now whatever remains of Punchinello is talking, and I just seem confused.
Tenete Ikuhika sighs very sadly. Perhaps destruction is best, yes. Punchinello,
mm-hmm.
you watch as Ikuhika, Pompenny Farthing, and Drifting Snowflake, well, only one of them gets up, but all three of them do leave. You remain there in the Mirrorverse,
mm-hmm.
as do the, not centuries, as do the scouts that Sir Grace from the throne room sends mm-hmm. into the Mirrorverse, trying to find another way to Punchinello.
Yes,
perhaps.
Absolutely. Maybe we can save this errant bit of my consciousness.
You're about to revisit, as Sir Grace in the mm-hmm. throne room, you're about to revisit the Lonely Tower
mm-hmm.
when there's a knock at the door.
Come in.
The door opens, and once again, Patrician Otfoss Phelan, mm-hmm. Phelan Otfoss, steps into the room. My liege.
Mm-hmm.
Several matters.
It always is. What of them?
He closes the door behind him and begins walking in. As he steps in, as always, I don't think I've mentioned this, but as mm-hmm. always, he does the, you know, the classic number two villain thing
mm-hmm.
where he like takes a knee and yeah. looks at
yeah.
the ground.
And I get him to kiss the ring. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah. He. Oh, that's right. No, I do remember that. Yeah, he yeah. kisses the ring, takes a knee before you. My liege, in the night, the two marines that John Carter sent for Ada have been found dead.
I see.
Throats slit, probably from behind. One in the cellars, another outside the castle grounds.
Heading towards the city, you think?
Hard to say. Both of them within grounds of the castle, one only by extension. But, my liege, the cellars, he looks up at you, they have access to the dungeons. The dungeons contain many people.
Oh, yeah.
The dungeon, a tour of the dungeons would be very demonstrative of what's going on here.
At this point, Otfoss, she knows. Maybe not the entire extent of it, but at least the edges.
He nods. Additionally, John Cutter, I have not informed him the fate of his guards, but he will be curious as to why an accountant was able to best two of his men.
Mm.
And finally, the Viscount has remembered he had an accountant.
Okay.
For one turn of good news, my liege,
mm-hmm.
the violinist satisfied him this morning.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Do I have in the gigantic treasure pile before me
mm-hmm.
any magic?
Slightly smaller now.
Yes, yeah. Significantly reduced. Any kind of far-seeing or clairvoyant artifact?
You would have probably several.
Yeah, yeah.
You have the Eye of Love. You wish you had the Eye of Hate right now.
Yes,
but
yes.
You have the Eye of Love, the companion item to the Eye of Hate.
Mm.
You're not sure who you'd see through that.
Probably best I don't look.
I think.
Okay. What's my plan? Because at this point, if they have sent a Master of Masks, effectively an assassin,
mm.
then they are already suspicious. And so suspicious that they would send a full, like, highly trained spy
into
Fairburn Point to investigate me. And what that tells me is that there's nothing I can do. And that, in fact, the death of Ada, I guess what it's about is not starting a war.
Okay.
That's the trick, really, at this point. They're suspicious, and they're going to be suspicious, and we've done nothing to allay their suspicions, and I'm being attacked from all sides. So I think it's time to go on the offensive. I will lock down Fairburn Point, the city, mm-hmm. and I will lock down the keep as well. I know this is going to take some time, but it's time we did it.
All right. Valen nods and mm-hmm. says, "What of the Viscount Cutter?"
Of Cutter, I don't know. As for the Viscount, invite him to the throne room.
Yes, my liege. I will inform Cutter of his slain men.
Yeah.
And perhaps the full extent of Ada's skill.
I think that's a good idea.
He stands up and walks away. A little while later, there's another knock at the door, but this time a guard calls out, "Viscount Ignatius Pugliese for you."
Let him in.
The doors are opened and Viscount Pugliese comes in. As soon as he steps into the throne room, there's not, like I said, there's not as much treasure as there was before, but that there are piles of gold at all is a little bit impressive, but also highly irregular.
Yes, absolutely.
The throne room looks like it looks like a dragon's hoard, essentially. And there is a dragon sleeping up the back, quote unquote, sleeping
yes, yeah,
up
absolutely.
The back.
I suppose as well, the majority of the things behind me would be, there'd be a lot of gold still.
Yeah.
But it would also be primarily yes. like artifacts because those are the things that I'm not giving to Cutter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The Viscount stepping in, you see he's about to say something, but then his jaw metaphorically hits the ground. He is kind of struck dumb by the sight.
Take a seat.
He, a bit nervously now, sits down at the table.
How much do you know?
What do you mean?
The exact nature of your expedition here, what is it?
Well, I was to say that this, what I know, confirms it.
Mm-hmm. And what's that?
He looks at you with kind of that side eye. Now that the shock of it all has subsided mm-hmm. a little bit, he's got that, the kind of haughtiness has returned to him a little bit, yeah. at least.
Well, it is obvious, is it not? You have contracted, perhaps, shall we call it a disease? A terrible affliction. Through your travels, through your adventuring, this was always the rumors that Sir Grace, where did his powers come from? Well, this makes it obvious, does it not? You have from, and then the Viscount gestures to the dragon up mm-hmm. the back. You are one and the same, are you not? You have this gold lust that the dragons have. It is infectious, no? How, he looks at you, embarrassing.
You know, my father was a politician. He was very concerned with sums, numbers. That's the world he lived in. He carried this ledger, this big thick book, and in it he would chart the comings and goings of Grace Manor, the staff, the horses, the amount of buttons that the servants had on their coats and how bright they were. He was a very meticulous man. I turn around and sit across from him. He was a very small man. Do you know what I mean?
I do not understand. Is to chart the buttons? This would be someone else's job.
No.
An accountant.
No, he made sure it was his job. He liked to be in control, I guess. I never liked my father very much. I'd like to put both hands on the table and kind of expanding out from my fingers the inky black, and I would like it to sort of slowly kind of dripping over the table and onto the floor, and then to clasp around the legs of the Viscount.
He screams. Are you taking him, yeah?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. But slowly.
He screams at first and for some time. The doors just outside the throne room, there's a guard stationed at each one. They have been standing there since basically you took control. Since you were named regent, these two guards have stood here. They're not really guards, though. They're suits of armor filled with inky black goo. Any noise that comes from them, if someone were to pay close attention, the noise does not come from behind the faceplate, but comes from actually the center, the chest, where a giant mouth wraps around them inside the armor, inside both of them. These entities, were they independent creatures, could hear screaming coming from the other side of the door, but then suddenly there's none.
Return to your chamber, Pugliese. count your buttons.
Silently, he stands up and goes.
Okay, I'm then going to check on the locking down of the keep and of Fairburn Point.
You jump from entity to entity, ensuring that your orders are carried out to the letter.
Mm-hmm.
As you and your troop march ever upward on that staircase, you every now and then leap back from the troop heading upwards mm-hmm. into infinity. You jump back to people going, searching through the mirrors, looking yeah. for Punchinello. You jump to side corridors of the Lonely Tower, where, once again, some of the entities know that they're fighting you. Some mm-hmm. of the entities, their nature fights you, really. And then jumping back one final time, after another second longer infinity than the one before, you come once again to the top of the staircase. This time, at the fourth floor, what you thought was the fourth floor, you realize you've come a bit higher than previously. Mm-hmm. Looking out a window, you can see that you're quite high up in the Lonely Tower. This room is a long corridor. It ends in a single door, mm-hmm. and there are paintings along the walls. These paintings depict things that couldn't have happened.
Okay.
Past events that Sir Grace, looking upon them, realizes must have been faked.
Okay.
You see a famous event from the human pantheon, the worship of gnomes in Pania. You see a figure, which is quite clearly meant to be gnomes, striking down Kodum, who is kind of like a lawful evil god of mercenaries and assassins and that. You see him striking down Kodum, but that there's no story that ever tells of this, and Kodum certainly would not allow himself to be destroyed like this. It is an impossible scenario. You see another painting that depicts a horde of direwolves slowly backing up against the edge of a cliff,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like they're about to be run off the cliff by a larger, awful-looking herd of sheep.
Okay.
You cool. see a bunch of different other mm-hmm. such scenarios, things that just couldn't happen.
How long does the corridor seem to be? Infinite as well?
No, not infinite. No, okay. It's very finite.
Okay.
For the first time in a little while, you see definitely a finite end, and it's maybe relieving to
yes,
you.
Yes, yeah, I think so.
Infinities, even to Sir Grace, are mm-hmm. still taxing.
I suppose we will together, mm-hmm. Me with the 10 true faithful at my side, we'll make our way through this corridor of paintings. And I think I will kind of look at the paintings to see if, I suppose, any stand out or any feel like they might provide a clue as to what I'm about to come up against at the exit of the corridor.
Sir Grace, you don't know what these paintings could indicate.
Okay.
But if you wanted to, you feel like there's some hinting at the edge. There's something magical going on behind these paintings. Or the mm-hmm. entire corridor feels altered, strange, different. And you, if you wanted to, could spend the time flipping through a bunch of different creatures or people that you control.
Yeah, I'll check with Jindabyne to see what Jindabyne has to say.
Jindabyne, who's making his way back to Burn Point yeah. right now. He's kind of on a leisurely stroll. He's not taking even paths. He's literally walking. As a crow would fly, he is walking back to Fairburn Point. He feels confident that nothing here is going to harm him.
Mm-hmm.
And with his magic, the stroll is almost pleasant. He's calmed down a lot since he ran from deep beneath the earth.
Yeah, yeah.
Who might you be? As you attempt to contact him.
You know who I am, Jindabyne. Where am I?
No, I don't think I do. It seems genuine. He seems genuinely to not know you.
It's Sir Grace.
Sir Grace, Sir Grace. Shall I ponder? Shall I ponder? Oh, Sir Grace. Ah, but you died. You've been dead a long time. Your daughter, Tiffany, controls your throne for now, I think.
I'll disconnect. Okay, well, that's of no use. And it also makes me concerned as to how far I've drifted here in the Lonely Tower. Well, I guess we'll try to make our way to the end of it then. I feel like there's a danger in contacting the outside world at this point.
You hear footsteps from behind you back down the infinite staircase. Mm-hmm. You turn back around and you watch as yourself, you again, with seven people walking behind, reach the top of the staircase.
Okay.
So, Grace, you look at yourself already in the corridor.
I see. I'm in two places at once.
No, you're only in... No, you are... Each Sir Grace is only aware of themselves, but you are now playing two Sir Graces looking at each other.
I can do that. I would like to go and approach the other Sir Grace.
All right. You are the other Sir Grace.
Okay. I welcome the other Sir Grace with open arms. Not in a hug, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is... complicated situation, but probably advantageous. And then I, as both Sir Graces, look at the end of the corridor to see if there's any other Sir Graces coming.
No one immediately.
I wait.
Okay.
Sometime.
A third Sir Grace with four comes up. This Sir Grace is very battle-worn.
Okay.
This Sir Grace would be a bit wary. He very nearly lost the fight with the mirror creature.
I see. You're safe, I say, as one of the Sir Graces. Approach. The battle
three Sir, yeah, the three Sir Graces convene.
How many of us are there? I don't know. Presumably an infinite amount, given the place that we're in. And some Sir Graces won't make it up the staircase at all.
I will say, actually, as well, this tendril form, does it look, do you make it look like a young Sir Grace?
Yes, it looks like a young Sir Grace.
After looking at yourself for some time, for not some time, but after this little conversation, you realize that there are subtle differences between these three Sir Graces.
Okay.
They are all how you, they are all, yeah, definitely a very, as far as Sir Grace is aware, they are all very a very accurate depiction of what Sir Grace looked like when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But all three of them, there's slight variations. Maybe one of you has slightly different eye color, different hair color, maybe slightly different skin tones. Maybe even your hair slightly parts in like a different way, ever so slightly. A fourth Sir Grace... this one with 10, like the original Sir Grace, walks up. This Sir Grace is an elf.
Now, here's the real conundrum, I say. As the original Sir Grace that was the first to come up this staircase, are we here for the same reason?
The first... how many Sir Graces are there now?
So there's Tendril Sir Grace.
Yeah.
There's, let's call him a brown-eyed Sir Grace. Because I don't think Sir Grace has brown eyes. Old Sir Grace. And elf Sir Grace. Now, the next question that I have on my mind, and I assume if you're me, which in some way you are, you have the same or similar question on yours, is who here is real? Because obviously there's also a chance that this is another trick.
Tendril Sir Grace, looking at each of you, begins to get an understanding that each of you is real, but you're all different. None of you, there's no connection between your entities.
Yeah, for sure.
Brown-eyed Sir Grace is less certain of that, but does think the same thing. Old Sir Grace is beginning to get suspicious.
Yeah.
He thinks this is a trick. Elf Sir Grace is a lot more magically versed than the other three Sir Graces. And had you been able to, or had you remained in contact with Jinderbine for longer, Elf Sir Grace comes to a conclusion that he might have come to, which is you are, each of you, Sir Grace from an alternate reality or timeline.
Are any other Sir Graces coming up the stairs or has it stopped?
Oh, God. Yeah. A Sir Grace... let's call him War Grace.
Fuck yeah.
So Grace comes up with 24 hosts.
This is going to be a problem.
War Sir Grace. Imagine if Sir Grace's aggression was dialed to 11.
Okay.
He's maybe missing an arm as well.
Okay. The problem is that obviously Sir Grace is like, I don't want to deal with these guys. But every Sir Grace is thinking
he's
the
thinking
same
the
thing.
He's thinking the exact same thing, yeah.
Yeah. We all are probably here not for the same goal, but to go to the same place. So, well, I turn to the Sir Graces. For the moment, it's probably worthwhile to make allies of one another.
I assume Brown Eye Grace, Old Grace, Elf Grace are probably, well, maybe old, not so much Old Grace because he was very suspicious.
Yeah.
But Brown Eye and Elf Grace, I assume, kind of amicable to this.
Yeah.
Elf Grace may be the most... for he's kind of the one who is like, oh, I think this is alternate reality or alternate timeline sort of stuff. Old Grace, who is suspicious, who probably believes is starting to believe this is a trick, and Wargrace, who could believe whatever you think Wargrace would believe,
yeah.
but, like I said, aggression dialed to 11.
Mm-hmm.
Those two might be the ones causing a problem here.
Okay. Wargrace has 24 men. Together, we could probably... Okay. As Tendril Grace, I turn to Brown-Eyed Grace, Old Grace, and the Wargrace. They're not going to let this stand. I know me, and you know you... We're all the same person, more or less, and we are all going to be fighting for the same goal, even if our motives are different. I think we're going to need to stop them ourselves. Together, we have enough men to do it. Brown-Eyed Grace probably would be in agreement. Yes, I say we make a stand. Some of us have lost more than others. But I say we make a stand. And then I'd like to begin trying to make a stand against the other Graces.
Are you enlisting Elf Grace
yes,
as well?
Yes, Elf Grace and Brown-Eyed Grace
All right.
to make a stand against War Grace and Old Grace.
Well, on the bright side,
yeah.
Old Grace is not teaming up with War Grace,
yeah.
I don't think. So it's more of a three-way fight.
Mm-hmm. Then I pull back. I take my men and leave.
Would Brown-Eyed Grace and Elf Grace fall for that?
I think Elf Grace might. Brown-Eyed Grace, I don't know.
Okay.
I leave that in your hands.
I think Brown-Eyed Grace will fall for it if you leave your men.
Sure. I'll leave my men behind.
You leaving your men behind, you back up a little bit as if you were to engage from afar, but then you just turn.
Yeah.
It's a finite space this time.
Yeah. And I'm out of there.
And you leave.
And presumably, this is also part of my thinking, any future Grace that ascends those stairs
is
comes upon
see
a
the
battle
fight. Yep.
between Graces. And
Very clever.
I am gone, I am a ghost. At the
Very
cost,
clever.
Of course, of my men, so be it.
You turn around, sprint to that door, grab the handle, open it up, stepping through the threshold and closing the door behind you. You hear the sounds of battle echoing and then dying behind you, and you are standing in a meadow, a green, beautiful meadow, which none of the plants here look familiar to you, but you hopefully are back in your time and space.
Yes. I reach out to see where not my 10 true faithful that are in the what will become exponentially a bigger and bigger battle as time
yeah.
goes by, but to the ones that are like exploring the mirror realms and stuff like that, and any other reinforcements in the Lonely Tower, which it feels like we're infesting like ants at this point.
Yeah.
I reach out to see where they've got to now that I'm back on my own home reality.
If you extend yourself out, you are able to slowly come to the realization that this meadow is not a meadow. It's a corridor with many doors in it. It looks like a meadow, but it's not a meadow, actually.
See,
it's a corridor with doors in it. But it looks like a meadow, and it is kind of also a meadow.
Yeah,
and it is a meadow.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a corridor with doors in it.
Sure. I'm there.
Behind those doors, some of your reinforcements have managed to snake their way up here.
Okay, can I try and open those doors?
You open some of those doors and a total of, you were going to get 5d6,
okay.
but because you have scattered your reinforcements doing other things, you will only get 3d6.
That's fine, I'll take it.
You get 14 new fighters.
Hell
fresh,
yes.
Hot off the presses.
Okay.
You and your 14 fighters, they came from... So this corridor, that's actually a meadow, don't forget.
It's a meadow I'm in, but it is a corridor.
But it is also a corridor.
Yes, yes, yes.
There is 6 doors in total in this meadow.
Mm-hmm.
But out of those doors, only 3 of them are not places that your guys have already been in the corridor.
Cool. So
three of the doors,
three
in the
new exits, basically.
Yeah,
three
new
potential
exits.
Places to go.
One of the groups, though, looks pretty battle-wary. And when you're like kind of jumping into them, they give you a kind of a mental report that the doorway they came through came directly from the mirror area, but they found a fortress almost made out of mirrors in the mirror area that seemed to have passageways to all parts of the tower.
Oh, okay.
There was, the reason they're battle-worn is because they had to fight their way in as mirror people kept streaming in from those mirrors.
Okay.
But you could access all sorts of parts of the tower from that fort if you were to brave the fighters there.
I would like to, now that I'm on I don't know if he'll have any help here, but now that I am on firmer ground, I would like to reach out to Jindabyne again.
You contact, this time, your Jindabyne, though he is, because you were contacting Brown, you didn't realize this at the time, but you're contacting brown-eyed Grace's Jindabyne, who was very, no, sorry, that Jindabyne, in that universe, you were dead.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, that wasn't brown-eyed Grace's Jindabyne. But this Jindabyne is doing a very similar thing, maybe in a slightly different spot. But this time when you contact him, well, back again.
Still suspicious of that voice. I'm in the Lonely Tower. I have 14 men with me. How possible and what would it take to... There are many passageways here, many tunnels. What would it take to make my own tunnel?
Ooh, now that's a question. A very good question. There is magic to be done there. Certainly a skilled wizard could perform this magic. If you could get me there, I could do it no problem. No problem at all. The problem, of course, being that I aren't there. But, could be done. If you can get a tendril to me, I can step through the tendrils. And then I can be where you are, where you need me to be, and I can cast the spell, or I can show you how to cast the spell, of course. But if I show you how to cast the spell, there is always chance for error. You don't know the spell, not like I do. But the option is yours, my liege.
Where are you now?
In the forests. He looks around. Where is the nearest Grace? Where's the nearest Grace? The nearest Grace? The nearest Grace? Ooh, farmhouse, not far. He gives you some basic instructions, a basic direction. You reach out, and sure enough, there's a farm there where, well, let's say you're controlling a cow.
Why am I doing that?
I'm
controlling the whole farm, I guess. Yeah.
No, it's more like a spy.
Oh, I see. That makes sense. Okay.
It was just the most convenient thing at the time. I assume.
Yeah, the least suspicious, too, for sure.
Once they're inky blacked, it doesn't matter if they're a human, a cow, or whatever. Absolutely. It's all the same to you.
Okay. I find myself in the cow,
and
I will, approach the edge of the sort of. Pen that I'm in or the field that I'm in.
Whoa, Bessie. The farmer's there.
I ignore the farmer and I just start walking.
You as the cow, there's a fence, but as the cow, you can hop it.
Clamber over it. Yeah, for sure.
Whoa, Bess, what you up to there, girl?
I'll start running. I'll start galloping, excuse me.
The farmer chases you for a little while, but you're faster than a farmer.
Yeah.
Let me check that.
Yeah, how fast is a cow?
I said that very confidently, but I actually don't know if that's true. Cow speed. Oh, same as a human. All right, so it becomes...
It's a chase.
Yeah, it becomes a chase. Oh, my God.
Yeah?
Bessie is old.
How fucking annoying.
The farmer catches you pretty quickly.
I trample him, Adam. I rotate around and... slam him with my head and my horns.
Absolutely, buddy.
And then I try and trample him to death.
He's not expecting this, so I'll give you advantage. You
surprise
hit him.
Attack.
Yeah, you get a surprise attack.
Fuck yeah.
You turn around. Farmer Clyde, slam. You crush him under your hooves. You mince his face and body.
Good.
His last words are less words and more a strangled cry.
Then I will turn around. And I will leave his corpse behind and try and find Jindabyne.
After a minute of continuing into the forest, you hear screams from behind you.
That's fine. No one's going to be suspicious of me. No one's going to think this has anything to do with Sir Grace.
Do you want to hear the funniest fucking thing?
Yeah.
What if I did a random encounter for you right now?
Make me find it as a Sir Grace cow, dude. I'll fucking do it. Think I'm scared of you?
Let me get random forest encounter.
Oh my god.
You come across a large ancient temple. Hang on, give me a sec.
Doing a dungeon as a cow.
You'll need to make a religion check, Sir Grace. Yeah, all right. You recognize the symbology here. Mm-hmm. It's a old and abandoned temple to Gulliver.
Okay.
Gulliver is the antithesis of the dead, undead, I should say.
Okay.
This probably would have formed a series of small, it's not a very large temple, it'd be like a one-room space,
mm-hmm.
but it would have formed a series of temples along some sort of ley line or magical barrier, which then would have been used as kind of like what do you call it? Like a large alarm network for if undead passed through a certain area.
Interesting.
You could probably find... I mean, Gulliver was slain a long, long time ago. This is why the temple is probably unused. But you might be able to find a tiny little peasant's amount mm-hmm. of treasure in this temple, if you were curious.
It's probably not worth my time, especially as a cow, to investigate this temple.
That's so funny.
Does it seem like a big temple?
It's a one-room space.
Okay, but I'm a cow. You know what? Look, I'll go investigate. I'll just go check it on the way.
You fool. As you get closer,
yeah.
You hear...
a dog?
Seven. Rabid dogs have been using... Because there is an aura of gentle peace about this place,
mm-hmm.
the rabid dogs were probably slightly attracted to this it feels safe to rest here.
Yeah, of course.
For them, maybe. For you, less so. Seven dogs of random breeds
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that had just escaped from nearby villages make their way out. The pack smells meat.
Okay. That's fine.
You got cow stats there, buddy?
Yeah, brother.
You go first.
Okay. I would like to use the ability charge. I move in 20 feet straight toward a target, hit it with a gore attack, and I deal an extra 2d6 piercing damage.
You pick up a corgi, throwing it over your horns. The corgi strikes a tree, mm-hmm. strikes a rock, hits the ground.
Perfect.
It's dead. The corgi is dead.
Okay.
You maybe issue a grunt and a bellow as part of that. The remaining six dogs flee.
Okay. I rotate on this spot and I...
Yeah, it's safe now.
I guess I'll have a look.
You wander inside. Random treasure.
The adventures of Cal Grace.
You know what's so funny?
Yeah.
He can't help himself.
Yeah. It's true.
He fucking
no
can't
matter
help
what
himself.
Form he's in.
All right. Inside, you find there's a like a, not an altar, a small altar. What do they call those?
Like a podium or a,
something like that. Like a little, when you... What do they call it? I think the name is the same as when you hang, it's really fucking creepy thing to do. You hang like a bunch of pictures of a person, a shrine. There's a shrine.
Okay, yeah.
There's a little shrine inside, long disused, covered in moss and dust.
Mm-hmm.
There is on the shrine a little collection bowl. Inside the collection bowl, you can see there's some trinkets, a bunch of different, you know, like rings and mm-hmm. things, just offerings basically. And next to it as well, there is, do you know what a karma is?
No.
It's a weapon. It's kind of like a little scythe.
Oh, cool. Okay.
There is a masterwork karma,
mm-hmm.
and the trinkets would add up to about 300 gold.
I have no way of collecting it, but I mark it for a later, you know, Sir Grace
collection,
of some
yeah.
kind to come and collect. Then I'll turn around, I'll try and... Is it cows that can't go backwards? Because that would be so funny. Stuck in.
Don't! No!
No, cows are capable of walking backwards. Okay.
Okay.
Thank God.
Fuck. Sir Grace. Cow adventures is so funny.
Sir Grace the cow stuck in.
What
a
very strange aside.
Yeah. Okay, I turn around from inside and I'll keep heading toward Jindabyne.
You reach Jindabyne.
Okay, then I will, I guess...
Jindabyne, giggling, speaking to the cow, says, do you mind if I destroy this form?
In the Lonely Tower, speaking to Jindabyne, I say, no, not at all.
Jindabyne gently places a hand, both hands, sorry, on the cow, and then grabbing, he, even if you weren't Inky Black, he would still be doing this to the form of a cow. But he stretches the cow out like it's made out of rubber.
Gross.
And then he, giving it a little flip and with some magical energy, saying the right words, doing the right incantations, the center part of the cow becomes a black mirror. Stepping through the black mirror, Jindabyne kind of explosively appears out of your chest. He's now in the Lonely Tower with you.
Okay.
The cow is destroyed part of the spell.
It's done its job. I say to Jindabyne, there is a fortress back in the... I'm assuming he's been kind of kept up to date about what's happening in the Lonely Tower, but I give him a better explanation.
Sure.
And then I say, in the mirror floor of the Lonely Tower, there is a fortress. And in that fortress, there are entrances to many other parts of the tower. And perhaps if we were to take the fortress, we would be able to make a beeline straight for the top. However, the enforcements that exist in the fortress, the mirror people that are there, I don't know if we'd be able to take them out without heavy losses. I indicate to my, like, battle-weary true faithful. However, in the room below us, there is a battle. A battle that I think is growing exponentially with every passing minute. And if we could punch from that floor to the mirror fortress, then we could cause enough chaos that we would be able to escape into any mirror we wanted to. That's my current thinking.
An excellent plan, my liege. Of course. It can be done. It shall be done. Of course. Please lead the way, he says.
I turn around and I go into the previous area, the previous finite corridor, to see kind of what carnage is occurring there at the moment.
You step through and you see a battle, a flurry, a truly, like, messy fight. Mm-hmm. Rules have been completely abandoned. Mm-hmm. There's no, I mean, not that obviously kobolds really care much for the rules of combat, but these kobolds are tearing each other limb from limb. You have never seen more people die over a necklace that you know is not made with diamonds, but was made with zirconiums. But the kobolds, I suppose, don't know that.
Better than a piece of chicken, I say.
But yeah, you watch maybe 20 kobolds in total die for this necklace before a dragon... Christ.
Life is cheap for kobolds.
A dragon makes its way over, gives a huge bellow, breathes some flames, and the rest of the kobolds kind of die down. The dragon picks up the necklace, takes one look at it, realizes it's worth, throws it back to them, and the fight resumes.
Oh my god. Okay. I remain just kind of watching the kobold fight and also keeping an eye on the necro wizard in his slowly spinning cage.
All right.
Does he continue to lock eyes with me every time he spins?
It's been a night. There was like bed.
Oh, okay.
Would you have gone to sleep?
How guarded is the necro wizard?
There's a bunch of kobolds in kind of like uniforms and armor. Mm-hmm. It's all a bit comically oversized or mismatched. It looks like the arms and armor came from dragons' hordes. So it's not necessarily sized for these kobolds, but these kobolds seem disciplined, unlike the ones you're watching tear into each other.
I guess, Sir Grace, I suspect that the Necro Wizard can see through the form that I'm currently taking of Morlock Brush. But some part of Sir Grace wonders if the Necro Wizard, if that's just a hunch that the Necro Wizard has. Mm. So I might... Again, under the guise of just being a visiting kind of person from Fairburn Point who's just here to watch the proceedings, I casually, probably with the High Priest as well, I will casually stroll over, not really engaging the Necro Wizard, more like looking at him like he's just a thing to be kind of idly observed with a hmm. I'll kind of go and have a look at him to get a kind of... One, to gauge if he clocks me immediately, but two, to gauge just how he's doing.
You approach, the Necro Wizard he stops passively just standing there, and he starts moving so that he can keep an eye on you the entire time as you approach. Two of the kobolds, when you get to a certain range, like a close enough range that you could theoretically sprint up and reach out.
Do something, yeah, sure.
The two halberds, once again, mismatched, both to the kobolds who are wielding them, but also mismatched to each other. Two halberds cross over, preventing you from getting any closer.
Oh, I'm close enough, I say. I'm just coming over to have a look.
You hear heavy footfalls behind you, and before you're able to say or do anything, you hear a...
I turn around.
Ratten the Shameful is standing there.
Hello, good evening.
A word, please.
Of course.
He gestures for you and the High Priest to follow him.
Okay.
You go to his private quarters.
As we approach his private quarters, I would like to jump into the fisherman that me and the High Priest have been using.
Yeah.
To have a little conversation. What are we to do if things go wrong? There's a chance that he's clued in to what's happening. They were talking about Vercingetorix, so maybe they know something, and I've already been accused. If things are to go south, is the plan to escape, or is your magic powerful enough that you think we could fight our way out? There are 316 dragons present, so I don't like our odds.
I don't like our odds either. I don't think we're going to be fighting our way out, but certainly my magic's enough that the two of us can escape, maybe just not unscathed.
Okay.
Regardless, I don't mean to be cavalier with your forms, but at the very least, I'm confident that I can get out, even if you can't.
No, no. If Morlock brushes to die, so be it.
Papa?
Go back to bed!
No, it was just helping.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
You're on the docks. Fishermen have to get up quite early, right?
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
You're on the docks fishing with the other fishermen, and your son was maybe ferrying fish guts and whatnot, or just when you catch a fish, put it in the bucket, he takes the bucket back, sort of stuff. Was there anything else you wanted to say?
No, that's it. That's
okay.
It.
Yeah, you end with a... and then you're a Morlock and the High Priest following Ratten into his quarters.